Well, it's 4 o'clock, so I'd like to call the November 21st, 2023 Budget and Finance Commission meeting to order. I'd like to thank everybody that's here today. And Melissa, would you do roll call, please?
Commissioner Fortunato?
Here.
Commissioner LeMay?
Present.
Commissioner Carr?
Here.
Chair Mason?
Here. Okay, we'll stand for the Pledge of Allegiance. It doesn't appear we have a call to audience, so we can move on to the staff liaison report. Mr. Gephardt.
Good evening, Mr. Chair, members of the commission. Just a few items for you this afternoon. So at the last council meeting, the town council approved for the Oro Valley Marketplace a PAD amendment, and also revised the master development plan / conceptual site plan for that development. So I think we should be on track to move forward for the marketplace. So good news there. Additionally, a couple weeks ago, we held interviews for two vacancies on the commission. The interviews went very well. We had five candidates come in and interview. All were exceptionally qualified and did a great job. We will be making recommendations for those for placement of those of the two positions at an upcoming council meeting. I believe at the next one is when that will happen, and those two commissioners will likely start. Both of them will likely start in January. I guess somewhat related to that. Just wanted to bring up next month is December, the holidays. It sounds like there may not be a whole lot on the agenda, so I'll just leave it up to the commission as to whether you desire to cancel next month's meeting or not. That also could be impactful for one of the agenda items this afternoon with the election of a vice chair. There would not necessarily need to be a vice chair elected at this meeting if you decide to cancel the December meeting. Our ACFR draft is in review with our auditors, so we've already received first comments on that, so hope to have that wrapped up either later this month or first part of next month, and then we'll present that to both town council and the commission in January, which is kind of our normal timing for those presentations. Earlier this month, I presented Golf Community Center Fund financials and golf financials to our Parks and Rec Advisory Board. So I just wanted to note that, make you aware of that. That is something that we plan on continuing into the future. Just feel like that board, it's helpful for them and their role as an advisory board for the town to have a better understanding of the financials of both golf and the Community Center Fund. And then last but not least, happy Thanksgiving to all of you. So hope that you all can enjoy the time off later this week and enjoy it with family and try not to eat too much turkey and gain too many pounds. So with that concludes my report, Mr. Chair. Thank you.
Well, that's the least we can do is eat. I have no problem as far as canceling December Budget and Finance Commission. Do we need to vote on that or just?
Yes, you should probably vote on it. The problem is it's not on the agenda. So why don't you talk about it when you do the election for the vice chair?
Will do. Just one question about the meeting with the park advisory. How did that go? Did they have any issues or questions or concerns from a financial perspective?
Mr. Chair, members of the commission, they actually had a lot of questions. You can review that meeting online if you wish to. It was somewhat surprising the number of questions they had, but I thought the presentation went very well. I thought it was well received. I think they appreciated the added information, and again, I think they felt like or feel like have a better understanding of kind of what's going on with the community center and golf, and hopefully that makes them a more effective body moving forward. So I thought the presentation went very well.
Okay, thank you. Melissa, could you read agenda item one, please?
Review and approval of the September 19, 2023 regular session meeting minutes.
Okay, was there any questions concerning the minutes? Do I have a motion to approve?
So moved.
Do I have a second?
Second.
We have a motion from Commissioner LeMay and a second by Commissioner Fortunato. All in favor?
Aye.
None opposed? Motion passes. Melissa, could you go on to item number two, please?
Agenda item number two, review and approval of the October 17, 2023 regular session meeting minutes.
There shouldn't be any questions on that one. So do I have a motion to approve?
So moved.
And second?
I second.
Okay, we have a motion to from Commissioner LeMay, a second by Commissioner Carr. All in favor?
Aye.
None opposed? Motion passes. Item three again, please, Melissa.
Agenda item number three, discussion and possible action on electing a vice chair for the Budget and Finance Commission.
Okay, so I think on this one, what we'd like to consider is canceling the meeting for December. And therefore, we could move this particular item of electing a new vice chair and probably a chair into January. Do I have a motion? Second?
Second.
Okay. We have a motion from Commissioner LeMay, seconded by Commissioner Fortunato. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All passed. We're moving right along, going into agenda item number four.
Agenda item number four, presentation about the community's next 10-year action plan known as the Oro Valley's Path Forward.
Okay. Hello there.
Hello.
Please go ahead.
Thank you, Chair Mason. Commissioners, good afternoon. My name is Melanie Sims. I'm a principal planner with the Town of Oro Valley. I'm here with Renee Overa, who's also with the Planning Department, and we're here to talk about the community's next 10-year plan, OV's Path Forward. Is it able to have the presentation up? All right, there we go. So if you may be familiar, our current general plan is called Your Voice, Our Future, and it will expire in 2026. So this effort is to update or replace that plan based on what the community values 10 years later. Yeah. So this is really the start of a three-year process. We kicked off at the end of October through the mayor's State of the Town address. He launched it through that. And with this three-year process is community input. This is a community-driven process as well as a community-owned document. And again, it is one of the planning items that goes to voters for ratification. This first phase especially is all about community outreach because we're really looking to update the community's vision and values that sets the foundation for the rest of the plan. As part of this effort, we will be coming back to your commission routinely to provide you updates on what we're hearing from the community. So especially when we get more of these focused discussions going and understanding what the community sees as priorities, but also we'll be doing a townwide survey early next year, and we'll present those results to you as well. And lastly, the draft the vision and guiding principles we'll bring back to you. So how did we get here in terms of launching? I want to thank those of you who are very familiar faces from being part of the advisory group to help create an award-winning community engagement plan. That plan really is now what we're implementing. It set the tools and methods that we're using to get community input. Community input is encouraged from everyone, those who live here, work here, shop here, recreate here, but spend time in Oro Valley. However, we are prioritizing input from residents per our community engagement plan, but want to make sure that the process in itself is inclusive and accessible. As part of the launch, rollout is having more focused conversations on topics that are important to the community, and this includes how we finance and fund town services. So we will be rolling out. We just rolled out in November. We did housing and economic development. Water, finance, and land development will be in February. But we'll have more focused information. Mr. Gephardt and his team very graciously provide us a lot of background information. We'll be linking to your financial reports to try to get more of this information out, but then having these conversations with the community about what they care about and prioritize when it comes to town finances. As part of it, we've launched an interactive website, which I'll get to in a moment, and then most importantly, we're recruiting volunteers. Staff's role in this is really coordinating people and information. This truly is the community's plan, and so we need volunteers to help us get the word out there, set up booths, present to your organizations or groups. So the website is ovpathforward.com. It's interactive. People can go on there. They can learn things about different areas. But most importantly is they can post, and they can discuss with amongst each other various topics such as housing, but also help provide information so we can make sure that the community's vision and values for the future is accurate. And then also see results. Transparency was a key item in the community engagement plan, and we want to make sure we're being transparent with everything we've seen. We've already gotten over probably 500 sticky notes, and we're right now thinking, okay, how are we going to display these in the community? And you guys know we love sticky notes if you're at the advisory group. These are smaller, but there's still a lot of them. And so making sure those results are apparent to the community. And again, everyone's voice is needed. And so right now we have these three main questions that we're really taking out to the community. And it's what people like best about Oro Valley, what do you think are the biggest challenges, and what Oro Valley should be known for. So probably very different than most of our presentations or your commission meetings, I am going to ask if you would please participate today as community members. So we have it set up down here if you want to walk down and add. You love the sticky notes, but add your answers and put them on the sticky notes. We would appreciate it. We're not going to go through them today, but it just helps us to continue to get more feedback. So with that, I'll give you a moment. If you want to come over here and... I know. See, you knew. You knew when planning comes, we're doing sticky notes. They're smaller, though, than the ones that we made you guys do. Yes, you may. Yeah, absolutely. So all the comments we're collecting from Community Academy, actually, I'm glad you brought it up, even though it launched on October 25th, Community Academy, they got to do this before everyone. So all the comments from Community Academy up from until now that we've received will be all combined together to kind of come up with, to find the themes that we're seeing, and that will be used to update the vision and values. I want to thank you all for doing that. Just a silly fact, but, you know, as funny as sticky notes are, I found a picture from when they were doing the 1996 general plan, and it was a planner standing next to a sticky note board with sticky notes. So it's tried and true and apparently been working for many general plans, so we do appreciate it. In terms of ongoing participation, I encourage you all to sign up on the website and visit it if you haven't yet. It's the best opportunity, best way for you to get monthly updates on when these topics are rolling out and to see those results. And again, we do need help at volunteering if you have time to sit at a booth. But even if you have suggestions of ideas where we should go or organizations that you're involved in Oro Valley that we could do the same exercise to them too, that would be appreciated. And that concludes my presentation, and happy to answer any questions you have.
Are there any questions?
I just have one. So for the volunteering, do you do it through the website?
Yes. So Chair Mason, Commissioner Carr, yes. So you can sign up to volunteer through the website. Right now we're kind of still recruiting, but we do look to have a volunteer training in early December, like the first or second week, just to make sure that all the volunteers feel fully supported before they go out into the community.
Thank you.
Yep.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. We appreciate your efforts. Melissa, would you go over agenda item number 5?
Agenda item number 5, presentation and possible discussion of the town's fiscal year 2022 to 2023 fiscal update through August 2023.
Okay, what I'd like to propose here, since we're going to cover September, that we can just skip the August update and go straight to September, since it obviously includes August as well. So do I have a motion to skip this agenda item?
I second.
Okay, we have a motion by Commissioner LeMay, second by Commissioner Carr. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passed. Thank you. Go on to agenda item 5, please.
Agenda item number 6, presentation and possible discussion of the town's fiscal year 2023-2024 fiscal update through September 2023.
Good afternoon, good evening. Chair and Commission members, I'm pleased to be presenting our financial update through September. We'll give it just a minute for the presentation to pop up here. We'll be covering the funds that we always cover in our quarterly update. So it's our general fund, highway fund, and our community center fund. We will say that both our revenues and expenditures are doing well through the first quarter. And we do have some positive variances to talk through in the funds. So we'll give it just another minute here and then we'll jump in.
I saw your little video online and
oh
from
boy.
The executive. Yeah, he did very well.
I have yet to watch it and I don't plan on watching it. Thank you, though. I appreciate that. All right. I think we're all set. All right. So highlights again, as I mentioned, our revenues and expenditures are performing well compared to budget. We did throw our local sales tax up here on this first slide just because that is our one of our largest revenue sources. So right now it's roughly flat to last fiscal year. We did budget a slight decline, so we're actually doing well compared to budget. Some of the major categories there, we'll just touch on them real quick. Our remote seller revenues continue to do well. That's our Amazons and online sales and that sort of thing. That's up 12% over last fiscal year. Bed tax continues to perform well, up 8.5%, as well as restaurant and bar. We're seeing about 6% growth through September. Our retail, that growth has slowed just a bit, but still increasing. We're at about 2.5% through September. Utilities up just under 1%. And then our construction, which we had planned, it's down about 8% through September compared to last fiscal year. We did budget about a 16% decline for that source, just based on our residential and commercial building activity forecasts. All right, we'll start with the general fund chart, and then we'll dive into some of the details. The revenues are at $14 million through September compared to $12.5 million last year. That's almost all state-shared revenue growth, particularly our state-shared income taxes. So I think we've mentioned to the commission before that the portion that goes to cities and towns has increased. That's going to be offset by future reductions in property tax and income tax rates. And so this is sort of a one-time blip that we're seeing, a one-time increase due to that allocation increase. On the uses side, we've spent about $16.3 million through September compared to $12.8 million last fiscal year. A lot of that is really due to our transfers out, particularly the budgeted transfers that we make to the capital fund for our CIP projects. So typically in fiscal years past, we had done those every 4 months. So we had posted three of them every fiscal year. Felt like quarterly made a little more sense. That's when we update our estimates and just seemed to kind of more fall in line with some of our other sources and uses. So that quarterly transfer is posted through September, whereas in last fiscal year, obviously, it wasn't quite yet. We did budget to use fund balance of about $5.2 million in the general fund. Because of positive trends we're seeing both in revenues and then the uses that we'll walk through, we are expecting to spend about $3.1 million in fund balance. This is, again, early and subject to change, but that is what we're looking at currently. That would bring us to an ending fund balance of about $20.7 million, or just over 41% of budgeted expenditures. So that does exceed council's 30% policy by about $5.6 million. All right, we'll dive into the revenues for the general fund. The two largest sources in the general fund are local sales tax and state shared revenues, pretty typical of an Arizona community. Our actuals for local sales tax are at just under $6.5 million through September compared to our budget of $26.4 million. So just under 25% that we've seen through September, which is actually quite positive considering that these summer months tend to be a little slower. We are seeing some positive trends compared to budget in some of our categories. So we're expecting to land about 3% over budget, or about $850,000 compared to the budget for that revenue source at year end. The state shared revenues, I did mention the year-over-year growth we're seeing there, $5.5 million through September compared to $4.2 million last year. Still expecting to come in on budget in that category. And then walking through some of the other categories, charges for services, license and permits, grant revenues, pretty much on track. A little bit of positive trend that we're seeing there as well. So a little bit of a boost in licenses and permits, but overall close to budget. Our all other category, that variance you see there at year end, about $260,000 of that is due to a rebate that we received from the Arizona Municipal Risk Retention Pool. So that is reflected in that year end estimate. In total, our revenues are just over $14 million through September, and that's about 24.4% of our budget. We are expecting to come in about 2% over budget, or about $1.2 million at the end of the fiscal year. Moving on to the uses for the general fund. Again, I touched on that year-over-year comparison and the bulk of that being due to the difference in transfers out. But personnel up over last fiscal year as well, that's due to our full implementation of our class and compensation plan. Also, you may recall our pension funding policy for PSPRS calls for an additional $2.5 million to be contributed each fiscal year. So through September, we have posted one quarter of that, about $625,000. And that's reflected in those actuals through September as well. Year-end estimate, those savings are attributable to kind of a combination of things. We've had some position vacancies. We've also had some refills, a couple of department director refills and vacancies there that had occurred for a couple of months, so some sizable savings there. But then also the PSPRS contributions. So this fiscal year, we did still budget our rate or our contribution rate to be in line with what we've seen in previous fiscal years. But because we're seeing the benefit of the pension obligation bonds, the change in funding status, now what we are contributing per our pension funding policy is our required contribution and then our additional $2.5 million. So when you take a look at how those are trending out and what that year-end estimate is compared to the full budgeted rate, we are expecting to see a little bit of a positive variance there. So that's reflected in our year-end estimate. The other categories, pretty much on target, operations and maintenance, we've spent about 26.7% of budget through September. Capital, the budget of $1.4 million, we've spent about $268,000 or 19.7% through September. Still expecting to land on budget in those two categories. And then the transfers out, those will come in on budget as well. And again, those actuals reflect the now quarterly transfers to the capital fund. In total, at the end of the fiscal year, we're expecting to come in about 1.5% below budget, and that is those personnel savings that you see there. All right, we'll move on to the highway fund. Things pretty vanilla through September. Our revenues are up just a smidge, $1.1 million compared to $1 million last fiscal year. We're seeing some growth in our HERF revenues, which are the main source of revenues in this fund. Our expenditures are up just a bit, $500,000 compared to $400,000 spent last fiscal year. We are planning or budgeting to use about $536,000 in fund balance in the highway fund. And because of some positive trends that we're seeing on the revenue side, we are expecting to use about $438,000 instead. That would bring us to an ending fund balance in the highway fund of about $441,000. So I talked about some of the positive revenue trends we're seeing. It's really primarily interest income is the positive variance you're seeing there. So our state shared revenues, obviously the lion's share of the revenues in this fund, they're up about 4.3% compared to last fiscal year. Still expecting to come in on budget in that category, as well as licenses and permits. That's a small category. That's road and right-of-way permits. But then our all other, you can see that the budget there is composed of a transfer in as well as the interest income. That year-end estimate, 1.664 compared to 1.573 for the budget, that is our interest income. So those positive trends there reflected in that year-end estimate. In total, we've collected about $5.9 million in revenues through September, or about 18.2% of budget. And again, year-end estimate, it's about 1.5% above budget, and that's really all the interest income that we're projecting. All right, moving on to the expenditures for the highway fund. We've spent about $541,000 total in the highway fund through September. We are still tracking pretty much on budget. We have just a little bit of vacancy and personnel savings that we have calculated in there. But you can see those year-end estimates still in line, still in target with budget. Capital, it's pretty typical to have a low spend through the first quarter of the fiscal year. But our pavement preservation budget is $2.5 million this fiscal year. So as those fall treatments ramp up, we'll see those actuals start to kick in. We also have a few mill and overlay projects budgeted this fiscal year of about $1.6 million. So a hefty capital budget, and those actuals will absolutely start rolling in as we get further along here. All right, moving on to the community center fund. Revenues through September are at about $2 million compared to $1.8 million last fiscal year. That's due to growth, really, that we're seeing in all areas. Local sales tax is up just a bit, but contracted operating revenues are doing well. Town operating revenues are doing well also. For the uses, $3.6 million compared to $3.7 million last fiscal year. That's down just a bit because our debt service on our parks and rec bonds, those newly issued bonds, the debt service is a little lower this fiscal year than it was last year. So that's really driving that difference there, the slight drop compared to last year. We did budget to spend about $449,000 of fund balance in the community center fund. Some of the positive trends we're seeing there on the revenue side, we're looking at spending about $273,000. And that would bring us to an ending fund balance of about $735,000 in the community center fund. We'll talk about the revenues just a bit. So what we have right now driving our positive variance is our town operating revenues. So we're seeing some very positive trends with memberships, some of our recreation program revenues, the camps that are done at the community center, very popular, and those are all performing quite well compared to budget. So we have brought up that year-end estimate to about $1.35 million at year-end. But you can see all the categories doing quite well compared to last year's actuals. Contracted operating revenues are just under $900,000 compared to $755,000 last year. Our budget last year was just under $4 million. So we've got a budget of $4.6 million this year. So some positive trends we're seeing there, definitely. The other revenues category includes our HOA revenues per the contracts that we have in place there, but also interest income. And the interest income is what's driving that slight variance for the year-end estimate. So that is that difference you see there. In total, we are expecting to collect about $9.9 million in the Community Center Fund for the fiscal year, and that's about 2.5% above budget. So, again, those town operating revenues doing quite well. All right, moving on to the uses for the Community Center Fund. We'll just go down the line here. Contracted operating expenditures are up about 20% compared to last fiscal year. That's a little bit of labor, but really what's driving that is the utilities cost. Monsoon was not that great this year, and it's been so ridiculously warm that their costs, understandably, are up year over year. So that is that difference there. Still planning to come in on budget at year end. So they spent about $26.6 million of their budget through September. Town operating expenditures, we've spent about $434,000 through September, or about just a little over 26% of budget. We are expecting just a slight overage there. That's due to personnel. So obviously when these camp programs do well and the recreation programs do well, there's a contractor piece and a personnel piece to that as well. So a little slight variance you see there at year end. Capital, we are expecting to spend budget by fiscal year end. We spent about $142,000 through September. And then I mentioned our transfers out. The transfer for debt service this fiscal year is a little less than last year, but still planning to come in on budget at year end in that category. I will mention our year-end estimate, about 10.2 compared to 10.1 for the budget. That's about $65,000. That's going to be more than offset by our overage that we're expecting on the revenue side. So still overall for the fund, seeing a positive trend in terms of how much fund balance we're expecting to use because of those positive signs with the revenues. That concludes our presentation, and we'll take any questions you may have. Thank you.
Are there any questions?
I noticed in the general fund and police that it was about $700,000 larger than last year at this time. Is that personnel cost?
Chair Mason, that is personnel, but it's specifically the PSPRS quarterly payment of $625,000 that I mentioned. Salaries a bit, but that's really what's driving that.
The current golf contractor we have, how long is their contract for?
Oh, that is a good question. I might have to defer to our CFO, Mr. Gephardt. I'm sorry, I don't have that at the tip of my fingers.
If you give me a few moments, I can try to figure that out. But otherwise, we can do a report back to you on that.
That's fine. I was just curious. They've done such a good job. I was just wondering how much. I'm sure they had some option years and so forth. But okay. That's all the questions I have. Thanks, Wendy.
You're welcome.
Okay, we can proceed to agenda item number 7, please.
Agenda item number 7, review, discussion, and possible action on proposed town financial and budgetary policies.
Okay, and I would like to have a motion to move this to the meeting in January when we have our full complement of commissioners. Do I have a second?
Second.
Okay. We have a motion to approve from Commissioner, I just went blank, LeMay, and a second from Commissioner Carr. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposition? Motion passed. Council liaison comments, is that, okay, we'll go to the next item. I guess the next item is adjournment. Do I have a motion to adjourn? Second?
Second.
Second, okay. We have a motion to adjourn from Commissioner LeMay, seconded by Commissioner Fortunato, and we will adjourn at 4:36. Thank you. I'd just like to say, since we're not having a meeting in December, happy holidays to everybody, and hope for a speedy act for completion.